Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today is Dr. Tamika McKeithen. She is the assistant superintendent at Spring ISD here in Houston, Texas. I'm in Corpus, Texas. So welcome, Tamika. It's great to have you today.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. So tell everybody a little bit about Spring ISD and what you do there.
So I am, Spring ISD is a school district, and we're a mid-sized school district, a little bit over 34,000. Our enrollment fluctuates. We have a high mobility rate,
34,000. I love how you say that's mid.
Holy moly. We are. We know we're not the largest. HISD definitely is the largest.
Oh, well, yeah, this is true. I've talked to big schools, but wow, like, you know, and I talked to little ones. Wow, we're excited. Our enrollment is 2,000, you know?
Oh. So, yes. So
it's
I
all
get
relative,
the pleasure.
Yes.
It all is relative. And so I get the pleasure of being, of serving as the assistant superintendent of HR, our HR services operations team.
Right.
And so here I lead the teams for employee relations, compensation benefits, leaves, as well as performance management.
Very nice. Very nice. So with 34,000 students, how many employees do you have?
We're right at 5,000. Right at 5,000. Yes.
A lot of people. A lot of people. That's exciting. Good for you. How long have you been there?
10 years.
10 years. Wow. That's fantastic. And so where did you start and what was your progression to this role?
My progression is definitely different than most of my peers in education. So I've actually been in education for 17 years. I started in higher ed.
Oh,
and,
nice.
In higher ed, I served in multiple roles as I was a manager supporting our, at that time, your departments, like your math, your humanities.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
arts.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I had an operations role that was kind of combined. I helped them make sure we stayed on track with our budget. So heavy budget part, you had HR rolled into there. Helping with our adjuncts, doing all the things that that department needed as the business professional assigned to them. While in higher ed, I had the opportunity to then transition from manager to senior manager to director to executive director, and ultimately supporting from a central perspective. And during that time, it's been a lifelong journey of supporting ISDs. I started mentoring kids when I was a kid. So I basically really was 18 when I first started working with kids in the city of Huntsville, with the city of Huntsville in Huntsville, Texas, as I transitioned as a college student. So I found that I had the ability. I was like, there's an opportunity for me to connect these worlds. The love that I have for seeing students progress and ultimately end up in college.
Right.
I was like, maybe it's the opportunity for me to go into actual ISD and see if I can help there in regards to recruitment, support, everything that an HR professional would do.
Uh-huh.
And so the opportunity became available and I joined Spring 10 years ago. Very thankful for the opportunity because what we were seeing at the time, and you still have some of the same concerns today, kids were coming into higher ed and they just weren't college ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you had to put them in classes such as EDUC 1300 and other classes to help prepare them to be successful in college. And I said, what better way than coming back and pouring into the students just directly, you know,
right,
being here in an ISD. So my pathway is a little different because many times my peers were teachers or assistant principals. But I've been in HR for over 20 years. So just thankful to be here.
For
yes,
that
ma'am.
Role. That's very good. Very good. Yeah. It's definitely, it's one of those things where it's like when you're good at it, and you are blessed in that area and gifted, you grow in it for sure. And that's fantastic. So good for you. I'm sure Spring ISD is blessed to have you there.
So thank you for that.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about what kinds of things, based on your role, does your HR operations do to support teachers? Because and how do you attract them? Because we know that there's always a shortage.
There's always, it's been a shortage the whole time that I've been here. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, after COVID, it increased.
I've heard that. I have, yeah.
It did. And so there's, you know, we have a dynamic team. We all pitch in and help each other, but we have designated staff that, of course, they are out there doing different things. Like yesterday, we just had a virtual job fair mm-hmm. led by Ms. Tillman, and we're willing to do things out of the box where we're leading our own virtual fairs. We're meeting people where they are. And uh-huh. in regards to recruiting them. So I'm very thankful for the team that's out there on the streets, you know, going yeah. to wherever we need to go to recruit. But we all wear a recruiter hat. The reality is we do. Yeah, we are sure. We're the best advertisers, the people that work here, mm-hmm. that we're talking to, everyone that we're connected with. And word of mouth. So we're mid-sized, but we're also still, you have a very... still a suburb, smaller feel, but an urban feel mixed together. Mm-hmm. So we're very word of mouth as well. And so we, many different platforms, from traditional recruitment methods to helping everyone to understand that we are ambassadors of the district. And so often I'm getting resumes. You get them at church. You get them. Uh-huh. I've met people at the grocery store.
Yeah. You know, I carry my cards around with me
yes.
all the time. They're always in my purse. You never know. You never know where yes. you're gonna talk to somebody. Oh, I yes. know somebody, and I was like, oh, here, take my card. Give him my card.
Absolutely. So those recruitment efforts are never stopping. But once we're bringing them on board, that's my mm-hmm. compensation team that's helping to actually enter into the system. And then we have a very important part, the team that I lead, which is my benefits and wellness initiatives coming from that team of how do we take care of people when they're mm-hmm. here. And that's the balance between my employer relation and my performance management team. They all work together. Right. Once an employee is here, we're I consider us to be like the lifeline of we are the true human resources. If they have needs, if they need assistance in things, we're here to help them. If they have complaints or concerns, my ER team is hearing that. And then with the benefits and wellness, often we are connecting people to resources that they just didn't know that they had access to. Right. They may not know about an employee assistance program, though we share the information. It can be a little bit intimidating if you've never talked yeah. to a therapist. Mm-hmm. And so we like to serve as the liaison between them and their resources, and just helping to be a live person that they get to talk to in a safe place. It's safe to share with us whatever, because we can have access to that as the benefits team. Mm-hmm. And as they share information with us, just making sure that we are educating them. We do have a newsletter that we produce every month, and we like to share tips, wellness tips, mm-hmm. as well as giving them resources that are available to them.
So mental health is really important. It's an important piece of what you're doing. A really important piece, it sounds like.
Absolutely. We even, as our district, we offer at least 2 days as part of their days that they're able to take for wellness purpose. They are called wellness days, mm-hmm. 2 wellness days. And what better day to talk about this than May 1st, because this is Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yes, it is. Very
us.
Good.
Yes,
yes, absolutely.
And, just making sure that we let them know we care about them as the whole person. Mm-hmm. They're the ones out there on the, you know, our teachers are on the front line.
Yep.
But everyone, no matter what role, no matter what capacity they serve in, life can be overwhelming at times. And so we just try to make sure we're giving proactive information, but also coupling that with being very responsive to the needs as we hear what their concerns are.
Nice. Very nice. That's fantastic. I love that, you know, because it has become such an important piece of, I think it was there before, it just wasn't talked about the way it is now. Which, you know, that stigma has been broken down, which is fantastic. I mean, it really is. It's okay to not always be okay, right?
Right.
And that's and asking for help. I always, you know, we mentor and same thing. We always want to take care of people. You know, people are more important than the bottom line always for us as well.
Thanks.
Yeah. And you just go, well, why wouldn't we take care of you? You know, but sometimes it's surprising to people and they're not used to it. And, you know, it's like you do have to take their hand and go, okay, here, let me show you.
Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic.
We are part of the team that I always tell them normalization happens through us. It happens through people. So when we normalize a language and we normalize a behavior, then people start to understand it's okay to do that. So it's okay for us to let them know, like, hey, I've used our therapist.
Right.
So we used to actually have an in-house therapist that our employees had access to. And, you know, they were like, oh, wait, this is new. We've never had that before as a part of their benefits program. And it was free of charge at that time. One of the things that I often did was I said, you know, I've been over there. I go.
Yeah. Right.
It's okay to talk to someone. And so we are a part of helping to reduce the stigma that's associated with them and just letting people know, like, hey, life can be overwhelming for any of us. And you got to use your resources, your relationships with people, and just making sure we're being intentional and taking care of ourselves.
Isn't it interesting, too? I think that you think about teachers, and we are primarily, no offense to any of the men, we love you men, but it's a woman-dominated industry. It really is a woman-dominated industry. And, you know, we have emotions and we want to fix everybody else, right? We're really, teachers especially, boy, we want our kids to succeed. And, you know, I'm a therapist, so I want my kids to make progress. And special ed teachers want their kids to be successful, all of it. And we're good at identifying others, but when it comes to our own, not so much, right? It's harder to look in the mirror than it is to see it in somebody else, for sure.
Yeah, it is. We're very much like the, I think they always say that doctors make the
worst patients.
Most difficult patients. And so, I know nurses. My best friend, one of my best friends.
My mom was a nurse.
And so what we find with our educators, with our teachers, even with our principals, what I find is that no matter which seats we sit in, even in the finance team, the communications team, the curriculum, there is a strong propensity of helping others. And we are often first looking outward and not looking inward. But we know things like, and we'll say all of the cliche things like, we know you can't pour out of an empty cup. We know that, but yet we don't slow down to fill our cups. And so, you know, our team is actually working with one of our vendors getting ready because teacher appreciation is coming up. And so we've identified three campuses and we're going to take some sweets, some goodies over to them. But it's also full circle for me, what I have to do with my own team, because we're always thinking outward. What are we going to do for them?
Good. Yeah.
What are we going to? So for my team, we tend to normalize potlucks and gatherings together. But in my mind, I said, as we were planning for them, I'm planning for our campuses, I'm planning for my team, because they definitely do not think of themselves. They're always outward of what we can do for other people. And so as leaders of those type of teams, we have to be very intentional to make sure we pour into ourselves and pour into our staff as well, because everyone, our teachers are some of the most loving, caring, giving people. Yeah. Our principals are us in administration, you're at school, you're in your offices early in the morning, late at night. And I'm like, no, we have to help ourselves to balance the demands of the roles and just ensuring that we get rest mm-hmm. that we hydrate,
right?
That we take care of ourselves in the midst of all this going on.
That's very good. Very, very good. I was going to ask you what your advice would be to somebody else in your role, and you've kind of already answered it. So that's amazing. And it's true. You got to take care of your people. You got to take care of your own people too. Yeah. Office staff. One of the things we do here is birthdays. It's like, you have to take your, I'm the worst. I am the worst. And my family for several years would take, cause we're a family business. My husband and my kids all work for the company. My husband loves to tease that he's like, my boss is horrible. And it's his wife.
And it's you.
He's a jokester, but they literally would plan. We would go on vacation as a family. My birthday's in October, so they would plan a week, and they would plan an activity where I couldn't have my phone. Like one year we went kayaking, and another, you know, just things that would make it so that I would truly, because I would tell my staff, take your birthday off. You need to take that day off. It's a day, you know, God created you and you were born and you were brought into this world. So enjoy it with your family. Enjoy. We always say family comes first, you know, it's like.
That's right. Family first.
And I am the worst, not about family, but about self-care. You know, because you just are the one that's trying to make sure everybody else is okay. So I love the fact that you have taken that and turned it around and gone, these are my people. I need to take care of them as well, which is, you know, and caregivers tend to not. Yeah. So, and there is studies that show caregivers, especially when someone's ill, caregivers get sick because they're caring. They're focusing so much on caring for others that they're not thinking about their own physical health. So
I have a, I actually broke it. So I have to give me another one, but strategically throughout my office, there's little things to where I just I require myself to breathe and it's uninterrupted breathing. I'm not typing. I'm not on the phone. I'm not doing anything else. So when I take those moments with my hourglass, I flip it upside down and everything has to run during that time, whether I'm praying, whether I turn on something that I would like to listen to that's motivational, mm-hmm. or sometimes I literally just read in my office, because in my office I have right in front of me, I can do all things through Christ. On the other side, I'm like, great is his faithfulness and his mercies are new every morning. Mm-hmm. In front of me, across on my head, be still and know
that
so
I am
we
God.
Might have those moments that are kind of overwhelming. And even right here, I have the fruit of the spirits that are listed right. Yeah. And then it says, God grant me the serenity to accept the things that I can't change and the courage to change the things that I can and the wisdom to know the difference. You got it.
Yes. Right there. Yes, absolutely.
And so those still moments, they really speak to you taking care of yourself mentally. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people don't realize that they're just giving, you can get a little hourglass that it could be 1 minute, three minutes. It's up to you on how big your hourglass is.
Right.
But just flipping, and you have to protect the time.
Right.
And I try to model that for my staff so they also know that when that door is closed and I'm giving myself that moment of uninterrupted time, that's important for them too, because the demands, especially the nature of the work that we do, it can be really great.
Right.
Sometimes, and that weight can get heavy. And so it's like, how do we manage that even within the day? When I can't take the time off right now, but what can I do within the day to take care of myself? There are times when I'll just walk the back of the building. I'll walk all the way to the end and I turn around and I come back, and just that little time of, and they know I welcome them. They can walk the building.
Oh, nice.
As
long as we don't talk about work, as long as we take it.
You cannot talk about work.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
You have to disconnect for that moment. Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. That is so true. It is. What great advice that is. I'm going to steal your little hourglass. I'm going to start looking for one. Actually, I think I have one, but I think it's a whole. I don't know. I actually have one stuck to my mom. Maybe use that one. Bring it over.
You have to use it. They were cleaning.
Oh, it got broken. Oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it will be replaced. But that hourglass, it's weird when you first start to do it. Mm-hmm. It seems like a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. A minute can be a long time.
When yes.
Yeah. So I have to be quiet for a whole minute. My husband would be like, please, please. That's funny. That's fantastic. And you know what you're doing is you are opening yourself up to the Spirit. You know, God can minister us when we give him space, when we give him space. Mine is in my quiet time in the morning is really it's precious to me. You know, it really is precious.
Yes.
And I just when I don't my daughter especially will tell me, boy, mom, you didn't get your quiet time. She can tell you didn't get your quiet time. You need to get back to your quiet time, because it just helps. It helps me. It takes the focus of the day off of the things that, you know, that are bad. And I have the same thing. I have all of these little sticky notes all over. I have four monitors, but I have sticky notes everywhere. And, you know, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Proverbs 15:22.
And that's right.
When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Psalm 56:3. So that's just two of them. And it's just, you surround yourself. If you're a Christian, you surround yourself with the word. You just do.
And
if you're not a Christian, surround yourself with positive things. You know, get positive.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to tell everybody they have to become a Christian, but I think you should. But that's my opinion. But I would rather you step into positive things. Give yourself positive motivational things and give yourself that time, because you need it. Whether you're a Christian or not, you need that time. And I love that. I love that you
it's
do that.
Sitting right on my so this was given to me
beautiful.
years ago. And this
Lovely.
Is actually a picture of one of our employees lost her granddaughter.
Oh, wow.
And someone painted this for her.
Nice.
And I was praying for her during that time, and she felt compelled to print me a picture. Mm-hmm. And give me some words of encouragement.
Nice.
Because she said, I'm always doing that to them, but she didn't realize just how much. And so even with the pay and get back, when we model these things and it becomes who we are,
right?
People knowing that you care for them and that you desire the best for them and their well-being, they give you that in return. And so when she gave me this, I've kept this with me for years because it also reminded me that no matter what I'm going through, I too can lean on the Father.
Mm-hmm.
I can find safety and
in his arms
and comfort and everything that I'm looking for, healing, peace. No matter what I'm looking for, I can also find that in his arms. And so I've always kept her words very close to me, and because she did lose her granddaughter, it reminds me that when I'm with people, it really could be my last time with them. The brevity of life, I have no idea if you know the length of our days, but what do we do with those days while we are here?
Right.
It's extremely important.
Right. And I am going to say, because some of this is audio, the picture that she was holding up is a picture of a child in Jesus's arms, just so that those that are listening that aren't seeing the video can know exactly what we were talking about, because it's a beautiful picture, absolutely gorgeous picture.
Thanks.
So very nice. Okay. One last question. I could talk to you all day. I really could. if you could, and I say miraculously because I'm a Christian. Other people say magic wand. I say miraculously. If you could miraculously solve one challenge in your school, in where you, whatever it is, what would you want to solve?
I wish that every single classroom, was filled with a knowledgeable, caring, and compassionate teacher.
Lovely.
Every student, not just in our district, every student deserves access to a quality education.
Absolutely.
And our teachers are on the front line with them. So if I could take the most exemplar teacher that we have, and I can even remember mine.
We all know that teacher, that one teacher.
I call her by name.
Yeah.
Miss Deckard, and she was Miss Green at that time. She's Miss Deckard now. I wish everybody could have a Miss Deckard.
Yeah.
Miss Deckard helped me to see things in myself that I didn't realize were there. She told me that I could do all these things in life that mm-hmm. being a kid in a lower economic area and limited access to resources, these grandiose things that she said
seemed
that
impossible,
I could do,
right? Yeah.
They seemed impossible, but she saw something in me. And so I made sure that I let her know as an adult, and I actually am still in communication with her to this day. I wish that every student had access. She pushed me to be my best.
Yeah.
She pushed me to be a critical thinker. She let me know that my voice mattered. Mm-hmm. And my desire for every student is that they have a Miss Green or a Miss Dickert. And this is, our teachers are so important.
Yeah.
And I think some of them know it, and some of them may not realize just how important. They may be the only person that tells a kid in their life that they can do something. That wasn't mm-hmm. my story, but I know some kids that yeah. they had never been told until a teacher told them, you've got this.
Right.
You can do this. And right. so that would be my solve for all the kids to have nice. Access to the
That's
best
fantastic.
Possible.
Fantastic. Well, Tamika, thank you so much for your time. What a great conversation. Where should people go if they want to learn a little bit more about you or about Spring ISD?
Okay. So if they would like to know more about Spring ISD, it literally is springisd.org that they can go right to our website. All kind of information is out there. If they're on LinkedIn, they can also connect on LinkedIn to our sites as well as Twitter or X, formerly known as Twitter.
There you go.
For Spring ISD. And then I'm Tamika McKeithen. I'm also on LinkedIn. And people can connect with me there professionally. And I'm pretty low key. I don't have a lot going on out there, but I love to post my team. I love to send nice. Words of encouragement. So that's what, if they connect with me, that's what they'll see.
Yeah.
Great things going on with my team, as well as just words of encouragement is what awesome. I try to spread.
Awesome. Great. Thank you once again. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it as well.